And you're listening to WHCC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number, 395-1450. And our guest this morning is Representative Joe Habman. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Juke.
And we have a lot of things to going on in Lansing, but things are kind of slow at the moment with the budget. Does that kind of slow?
Well, no, they're not slow for me, Juke. That is, out of a 50-60 hour work week, that takes all of 40 of it.
Yeah.
It was a crazy week this week trying to focus on what we call a supplemental, but every day that goes by, my focus is on the budget, and it'll be that way really until Labor or Memorial Day.
Yeah.
So it's been a very busy time. I got home at about 7:30 last night and had to go right to a dinner. But people don't think we work hard. Well, a 10-12 hour day is the average, and then you still have some functions at night.
At night you have to attend.
Yeah,
we have a caller on here.
Good.
Good morning. You're on the line with our guest.
Yeah, I have two things.
Yeah.
I understand, or I heard that they want to put a $25 charge on our auto insurance for Medicaid payments. Is that true or not? And if they're going to give an income tax break, I think they should give them a tax break to everybody, not just a segmented part of the Michigan's community. Thank you. I'll hang
okay.
up and listen.
Thank you.
Well, on the let's get right into no fault. That'll probably gobble up for half hour. There is a proposal out there to, as we've continued the conversation about Medicaid reform, of trying to get our rates down a little bit and, focus on, we've continually seen this increase in the catastrophic fund assessment that goes on your insurance bill. So that's one proposal, is to reform no-fault insurance and try and get that cost down. We are the only state in the union that has an unlimited payment if you are injured in a car accident. And we want to just put some controls on that for that fraction of 1% of people that are in that category.
Right.
And that's not to limit their coverage, but it's a method to build accountability into the system. And then the reinsurers, the people that control the catastrophic fund, can have a better way to speculate their future costs.
Mm-hmm.
And people that I talk to say there's no way to calculate a cost in the future if you have an unlimited, there's no end to what your costs could be if you're injured in an accident.
Right.
In an accident. And as I said, this is a fraction of a percent of people that fall into that category, but nevertheless, it's a system that doesn't work anymore. So we're hoping to see a proposal that would lower our car insurance rates.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, we have three cars in our household with three people. We pay that additional fee, $125, something, I believe the fee is, maybe it's more than that now. We pay it for every car. As part of that proposal, we are trying to kill two birds with one stone. We do have a hole in the budget, a temporary hole. Now, it's not like we don't have money to do it, but we haven't allocated money toward fixing that problem. And this goes back to something that was we had to do a couple years ago for the federal government to accommodate a demand that they had regarding Medicaid funding, and that's called the HICAF tax. Health Insurance Claims Assessment. We imposed that a couple years ago. It was projected to raise about $400 million. Well, it doesn't raise that much. So we have a gap in what the assessment is and what we're collecting of about $120 million. Now, we've set that problem aside, and we're accruing that problem, but we've set it aside, the solution, until somebody can come to us and say, okay, here's a revenue stream that we can plug in as a permanent fix. The state of Michigan could fix the problem just by simply transferring existing funds out of budget surplus or general fund into filling that gap.
Mm-hmm.
But that just puts the problem off till 2015 and 2016, where we're patching a hole with excess money. And all of us want to look for a comprehensive long-term fix, that we have a revenue stream that pays the entire HICA assessment. So one of the ideas, getting back to the question, is that a $25 assessment on your health insurance, or excuse me, your no-fault, your car insurance bill, you would still see a substantial cut to your car insurance bill, even with that $25 assessment, because we would roll back insurance rates for a minimum of 2 years, and you would see a savings for at least 2 years. Well, we're also confident that by reforming no-fault, that savings would continue beyond 2 years, because we would build some additional competition into the state of Michigan, and you would see additional companies come in, and competition builds or breeds cost savings.
Yeah.
So it's an ongoing debate. We've been having it on no-fault insurance for a couple of years. We will continue to work on it, and we have to resolve this issue on the HICA tax by September 30. Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have a solution, then I believe we have to patch a hole. It may happen before that, but we're gonna work toward a dual solution of trying to fix the HICA and trying to build some good cost-cutting reforms into no-fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on so long, I don't remember the gentleman's second question.
Well, is there a chance of putting a limit on the amount of money people can get out of that fund?
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Michigan is unlimited, how much you can get out of that fund. The proposal that's currently being looked at is $10 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a
sounds
tremendous
reasonable.
Amount of money.
It is.
But
good morning, online with our guest. Hello?
There he is.
Do we have someone on the line? Good morning, you're on the line. Hello? Oh, here we go. Good morning, Talk the Town.
Nope, you don't. Well,
try again. Okay. We'll get whoever was calling. I hope they'll call back. 395-1450 is the number if you'd like to give us a call. And maybe it was the gentleman who was calling back. I don't know. And with a second question.
Yeah, I should have wrote that down.
But I heard a story a few years ago about someone who was in an accident in Michigan, and they were going to be laid up for life, and we built him a house in another state, one that he could live in.
Well, and that's an example of the extreme payments that do happen. And we want to make sure that people's health care is taken care of, but there should be some reasonableness as to what expenses are made.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, good morning, Duke. My feeling is life is all about choices. And if you choose to have insurance like that, that's fine. Then you can pay for it and just let me get the insurance that I want to get and pay for that. That's all I got to say. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess you could get insurance for that, could you not?
Well, you could. The next largest state that has the next largest benefit behind us, we have unlimited. The next one is $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know you can burn through $50,000 in a...
Very easily.
Very easily. In a
5 days in the hospital.
Yeah, exactly. So there's got to be some reasonableness between those two numbers. But potentially, if somebody wanted to have a $50,000 policy... Why, like this gentleman just said, why would we tell him that he can't have or he needs to have more?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a case where he just says that's all I want, maybe they can't afford more. So we have an awful lot of people in this state driving around without any insurance illegally because they can't afford it.
Yeah.
So is that a bigger problem than the potential of somebody having? $100 million in their lifetime of health care, I would rather deal with the people that have no insurance.
Yeah, and they have no liability or anything.
Exactly. Yes.
No responsibility.
To me, that's a much bigger problem.
It is. It is indeed. Yeah. Okay. Time out for a word. We'll be right back with our guest if you have a question.
And have the fun of your life. Contact Realtor Larry Kleinhexel at 616-490-3078. That's 616-490-3078.
And we are here this morning with Representative Joe Havman. And if you have a question for Joe, give us a call, 395-1450. All right, so this budget goes, it always seems to go on, and I'm sure it does because when I was on the school board, it did.
Well, remember,
when you get through with 1 year, you start on the next year.
And it does, but we did shorten that time frame. I mean, yeah. Really the budget goes
yes,
from
the
January
governor shortened
the
that time frame.
Yeah. So we saved 4 months off it, and when I was listening to previous representatives, and frankly my first 2 years in the legislature, it was truly from January to October 1,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes beyond that, but October 1 was our deadline. So it felt like that's all we talked about. It still feels like that because of my position on appropriations. That is my main focus, but at least we've shortened that down to Memorial Day is when we try to get it done.
That's very good.
It is. And this year, as you know, the issues have been what to do with a budget surplus, which is just a great problem to have in comparison to where we were a few years ago in this state. I that's a nice problem to have.
But everybody's got a place for it.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't matter how much you have. There's always demands for more.
Yeah.
So, and as we've talked in the past,
got a call here.
Okay.
Good morning. You're online with us, Joe.
Good morning. It's my understanding that the books are insurance, and I think that the light of the sunshine should shine, and the books should be open, and that's a good way to come up with exactly what the costs are.
Okay. Yeah, and that debate is. Goes on in Lansing an awful lot with the Michigan Catastrophic Fund, is that we need some more transparency. I haven't read this proposal since the new one's been out for about a week, but I don't know if that's in there. These are private insurance companies, and they, you know, their point is that other companies aren't required to open their books. But that issue comes up an awful lot.
I would think that's very important. For a while, I was living on Cape Cod, and they had a surcharge on insurance, and you only could get it through the state. But the insurance companies never used the algorithm for, you know, what would be the damage of storms. They never told them what the formula was. The books weren't open, and it just isn't right economic decisions are made and the light of day isn't upon them.
Okay. Yeah. That's a fair point.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
We were talking about the budget, I believe.
Yes.
Or the surplus. The debate this week, because we have a supplemental budget, which basically means there's more money available that we have to allocate sooner than the budget process. Some of it involves federal funds that we're trying to match and bring into the state. We had two surpluses this week. One was a school supplemental that the House started. It's through the committee, and it'll be sent to the floor and then on to the Senate. The other one is started in the Senate and came to us this week, and we mm-hmm. have to deal with that out of general fund.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Hi. I had a question about what are some of the main issues or things of reflection that we're looking at now as far as either proposals or bills that are at the center of discussion, and what are his views on them and his stance? I'm a new voter, I'm sad to say.
Okay.
I'm a new voter. I'm 30. Well, we'll just say I'm 30. And so I'm kind of curious on what's plaguing, you know, what's going on here. What are the issues? I know the gays have been, not that I'm, you know, the gays and pro, the life, the abortions, and those things have been center front. And I know that we have Senator Jones, a new guy, an independent, coming out over there. And so I'm just wondering what's going on in there. What are some of the main frontal issues that he's dealing with or that's going on. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, when you say you have Senator Jones has been around Lansing for a long time. His district includes Allegan County now, but after next November, he loses that since we redistrict. To get a comprehensive look at what my views are, I'd encourage you to call my office. I won't be able to do everything. But as Juke knows and as the listeners know, my focus, other than the budget, has been around the corrections issues,
mm-hmm.
Of trying to reform our corrections department and really start to rein in cost and to start changing attitudes, which I believe the public has done already, on over-criminalization of people.
Mm-hmm.
We incarcerate more people than any country in the world by a very wide margin, and we have increased our incarceration of people in this country by, I believe, 250% in the past generation.
Can I interrupt you with a call here?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Hoffman.
Good morning.
I don't think that you should tie any Medicaid payments to our auto insurance. What are you going to do in 4 years when the state, after you signed on to Obamacare, and in 4 years the federal government is going to stop subsidizing Medicaid? What are you going to do then?
Well, we didn't sign on to Obamacare. We did create a Healthy Michigan plan that accepted more money from the federal government to Michigan for Medicaid patients.
Right.
But
in 4 years, Michigan has to pick up its own tab on that.
Well, and there's two plans out there. The governor has a plan to set aside money now for that differential, and that drops down to 5% that the state would have to pay, and then ultimately 10% of that cost the state would have to pay. But the way the legislation was written is the minute Michigan pays dime one, the state has the option to opt out of it. And I unfortunately won't be there anymore, but then the legislature has to remake a decision whether they want to pay that fee or whether they back out of Medicaid expansion and say that with keeping the reforms we put in, but we'd back that population back out.
Okay.
So I think it's very important as we start to get into the Healthy Michigan plan, Medicaid expansion, that people realize, those that are enrolled should realize that this is a temporary fix for them and that they have an opportunity to use federal funds to get their health issues resolved if they have chronic health problems or, you know, weight or smoking or those health care, those indicators that cause health problems. They should take care of those things over the next few years. But that money may not be there. And I think you've touched on Obamacare. There's no guarantee that after the next election or 2 years after that we will be under the same system.
Well, I hope not.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I think I'm starting to see conversations happen in Lansing about the taxes that are being imposed on insurance companies because of Obamacare.
That's right, and that all filters down to the consumer.
Well, frankly, these companies are coming to us and saying, we don't know what to do with this. So I don't want that to become a Michigan government problem either because of what Obamacare has done. But we've got some significant problems in the implementation of this. I think a lot of us knew this was going to happen in removing competition, in trying to impose these taxes. And I heard last night from one of Congressman Huizinga's staff that you saw the report. This is estimated to the U.S. is going to lose about 500,000 jobs.
I agree. I know it. I've been following all.
Yeah. So I share your concerns.
I just don't think that you should attach anything related to Medicaid to our auto insurance.
Well,
the only thing you need to do with that auto insurance is cut the amount that we pay into that catastrophic claim business and let us have some more competition. That's it.
Well, I agree with you, but we have another problem, and so far no one has come to the table and said the solution for that Medicaid hole, and this is the old Medicaid, this is not the Healthy Michigan new part that hasn't even started yet. This is the existing Medicaid program that we've always had, that managed care that's really run pretty well. But nobody's told us about a revenue stream that they can come up with that's going to fix this problem.
I know, but every time there's money needed, you always say, okay, how can we throw a fee onto the people of the state of Michigan or you know, it's always a hidden tax, and I think we're all getting tired of that.
Like I said, if you have a way that we can fill that gap of $120 million, I am all ears.
How about just spending less somewhere? Maybe the prison.
Believe me, if I could spend less on prisons, I would. You know, we're looking at ways to, but that's a long-term issue, too.
I know there's a lot of issues, but in the meantime, don't throw some hidden taxes on us. We'd appreciate it.
And that's why if this happens, it has to be done as part of a rollback on your insurance cost.
Yeah, but you know the insurance companies, we're at their mercy. They can raise their rates, and they do anytime they please.
Well,
thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to take a moment out here for some weather. Yes, the Holland Hometown Forecast brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant with a new lunch feature, the Bayou Burger with potato chips, $6.09. That goes through March 1st. Boy, pick up on that one over there. Well, the weather, wind chill advisory for Allegan and Ottawa County till 11 a.m. And today it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 20. And tonight, overnight snow showers, low of 16. And tomorrow morning, snow showers, a high of 24. Sunday, snow showers at times with a high of 16. And right now we are at zero according to our thermometer here. All right, Joe, wasn't there a proposal coming up that someone was trying to circulate for a part-time legislature?
That proposal is out there, and it's being run right out of Ottawa County here. They evidently have to collect some 300,000 signatures, I believe, to get it on the November ballot. So we'll see if they have the resources to do that. It's typically a very monumental task to do that. You know, without a doubt, Juke, I'm going to stay out of that. It doesn't affect
me. Yeah, I understand that. I guess I'm retired. I'd like to say that I have known a lot of legislators in the time that I have worked here, starting with the Speaker of the House, George Van Persen, and that's a long time ago. But they're always busy. They always keep busy.
Well,
and I don't know how we're going to do it with the part-timers.
I think there's a rule of thumb that, you know, you find the work to fit the time that you're
allocated
to.
Yeah, that's true.
With 40-some states that have a part-time legislature, I'm not going to be so arrogant to tell you that it can't work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it could work. Other states have proved it. I will say that it is going to be different, and it is going to be you may not get the level of service, all of our constituents,
right,
that you do now. And, you know, this half hour right here, if I have a full-time job and I'm in the session, in the legislature 60 days a year or something like that, I may not be able to find time in my schedule to come and to do Talk of the Town.
Right.
This is part of my schedule. I consider this half hour as part of my work. And when I'm done here on Fridays, I have other meetings that I go to. I'm on my way to Grand Rapids right after this. These kind of things are going to suffer. And I think constituent relationships are going to suffer from my staff as well. Because,
mm-hmm,
frankly, staff is going to be doing most of the legislative work that I get involved in now. And furthermore, and this is very critical for the people to understand, if you have a part-time legislature, I may not be there, but the bureaucrats, the staff, and the lobbyists all will.
Okay.
And I'm here to represent the people, but they're there to represent their own interest in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
So
let's take this call.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Well, good morning, Juke. Thanks for taking my call. The full-time, part-time thing is sort of interesting. I saw something on the Internet, which doesn't mean it's true, of course, that federal legislators retire with a annual pension of $174,000 a year. And I don't know whether that's true or not, but I'm wondering what sort of retirement plan Mr. Hoffman has that the taxpayers are responsible for. And I ask just out of curiosity, I don't know what it is or not, but I'm curious on what that may be.
That's a really easy answer. My pension, whatever you want to call it, like health care, whatever benefits, January 1 of 2015 are zero. I get nothing.
And that's when you are no longer in office?
Yes, and I'm termed out this year. This is my last year, so January 1, I wake up unemployed. And I have nothing as far as health care, and I have nothing as far as a pension or retirement. Zero.
Are you unique there, or is that true all across the board for branches of the Michigan legislature, the Senate, and the House?
Well, there's Michigan has steadily, over the past 20 years, eased itself out of that. When we had a full-time legislature and people were there for multiple years, there was a pension program. There was also health care after retirement from 55 to 65 when Medicare took over. We voted that out, the final health care piece. We got rid of that about 2 years ago for my class. I'm the first class in the legislature that is not going to get it. I should have gone 2 years earlier. So there are senators in the Senate now that are going to get health care after they reach 55 and they're out of the legislature until 65. That's not a lifetime. That's only 10 years until they transfer onto Medicare. But my class and everyone after me has zero benefits after retiring from the legislature.
Well, that's probably appropriate. I'm glad to hear that.
Okay. Well,
thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So if anybody has a job...
Here's my resume.
Joe will be looking for a job.
Well, it's that's a consideration when you run for the legislature.
Right.
I knew that 5-6 years ago when I...
You knew that going in.
I knew it going in. I knew it was a 6-year gig at best, and yeah. I've enjoyed every bit of it. I don't regret it, but certainly I will be almost 54 years old when I'm retiring from this, and I've got another 10-15 years to work.
But this will look good on your resume.
I hope so.
Okay. Thanks very much for being our guest this morning here on Talk of the Town.